views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. Each show, we shine a spotlight on helpful techniques, mindsets, lifestyles, and inspiring stories to help you get through, not over, life's challenges. As I ask the question, who would I be if I loved and accepted myself completely? Or better yet, what would my life look like if I felt the love that I gave myself permission to experience? I was reminded of a bright, shiny soul who is joining us today, and I do want to welcome our guest, Kelly Bentley, owner of Solely You Holistic Wellness. And a little bit about Kelly before I bring her on. She has devoted more than a decade to learning and practicing in all areas of holistic health. She's an advanced holistic healthcare practitioner, advanced nutrition and lifestyle coach, personal training specialist, public speaker, health and fitness expert, and book model. Wow! She is quickly becoming an influential figure in holistic health, having unparalleled success and using cutting-edge assessments and treatment techniques. And what has brought Kelly to us today is truly a very shared overcoming of self-denial and a stepping into self-acceptance and self-love that she and I both share. I met Kelly about a year or two ago when we were on episode together for the Chakra House of Healing, and her passion and her love and her drive to help others recognize the importance of forgiveness and acceptance and self-love poured all over that, and it was just shining so bright from her, and she was able to acknowledge her own self-love and acceptance. And I believe that that truly inspires others, and it demonstrates to others, and that she truly leads others to find that way. And that's why I'm so excited to bring Kelly Bentley on today's show with us to talk about self-love, self-acceptance, self-worth, and everything. So hello and welcome, Kelly. Hello. I believe we have Kelly on the line.
Hi.
Hello there. I hope you caught your wonderful intro. We had a little bit of a miscommunication. I thought we were going to go until commercial, but you know what, everybody, I just introduced you to everybody and shared the beautiful story about self-love and self-acceptance and forgiveness. And I seem to be doing this every show. And you know what, there's always some little thing that doesn't go well sometimes. And you know what, I think that's the biggest thing is to step back and say, you know what, I forgive the experience. It's a learning curve. And because I just shared about all your beautiful things that you do in life and what drew me to you about you shedding your life about self-acceptance and self-worth, why is this so important? This was something that when we talked about it, you were like, oh, I so love this topic. I want to talk about this. What would it be that, what draws you to self-love and acceptance that's so driving force for you?
This has been a serious issue in my life, in my past. I'm not sure how much you shared about my bio, but I did a lot to become a holistic health and wellness, proficient in holistic health and wellness and a practitioner of it. And I noticed I wasn't, for lack of a better explanation, practicing what I was preaching for a long time. And I was doing self-abusive things. Like I was going and giving talks about how to be healthy. And then all of a sudden I would go and drink a diet pop, or I would go and not all the time, but every now and then. And I thought, what am I doing? And why am I self-sabotaging? And when I was younger, before I got into anything to do with health and wellness, I had an issue with alcohol and all of those things. And that kind of kept showing its head here and there throughout my life. And I thought, okay, there's a problem. And I couldn't figure it out because I do love myself. I always have loved myself. And I thought, okay, I have have all the self-love. What is the problem? And then I realized through many different methods and therapeutic methods and all of that, that there was a problem I had with self-acceptance. And I realized there was a big difference between loving yourself and accepting and approving of yourself.
That
major
is
your difference.
Yes. And you know what, before I want to ask you, what is the biggest difference? How would one, first of all, even, you know what, maybe we'll come in the definition, because I was going to say, how can one recognize that it's one or the other that they're lacking? So yes, I would love to hear that definition and that.
Well, I think if you would know if you love yourself. You would know, like the way I looked at it in my own mind was, I pictured it as this, what if I wasn't me and I was a friend of myself? Like if you just kind of mentally remove yourself from the situation, and what if you were your own friend? What kind of view would you have of that person? Would you want to be friends with that person, and why? And I always just had extreme love for myself. And you just think about yourself, and does it make you feel good or does it make you feel bad? And it was a lot for me. It was a lot of meditation, a lot of journaling.
Journaling, that's very interesting. So when you started journaling to find your way there back to yourself, did you pose a question and then kind of write it out, or were you just writing out your feelings? Like, did you have a topic that helps you to what to write?
So what I thought was the damaging things I was doing. Anytime I did something that was self-harming, like back in the day, if I smoked a cigarette, it was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? So I'd write what I did. I smoked a cigarette. Why did I do that? What kind of feeling was I trying to gain from that? Why did it make me feel better? Yes. But how and why did it make me feel better? And then you go through it. And throughout my schooling, I learned a lot about addiction, and every addiction is an unmet need. So it was like, okay, what am I needing that I'm not getting, or what did I need in my past?
Let's highlight that. I love that. Every addiction is an unmet need.
Yeah.
That really, I can feel like that's swirling around right now. And so if when somebody asks that question, answers come up. And so if we can listen to them, and you chose to journal them, and did you, and then explore it without judgment.
Right. Self-judgment is huge.
Yeah.
You can love yourself, but if you're, and it's funny, you might not even notice until you start to, what I did was I started to really listen to my self-talk. What was I saying to myself in my head through day-to-day life? And was I judging myself? And you realize how self-judging you can actually be without even knowing.
It can become a habit as well, because it's a mantra that we're saying. So judgment actually becomes a mantra that we, because once we say it a few times, you're creating that pathway in your brain, like, this is my truth.
Right. And you don't even notice it oftentimes. It's just happening in your mind. So it's good to really focus on how you speak to yourself and what you're saying to yourself.
When you are journaling, that's in a form, a way, not meditation, it's not really a form of meditation, sorry, at all. But meaning, would you meditate first so that you would know how to ask those questions and go into, or would you just kind of just grab a book and sit down and write it out?
I was just a freehand writer. I'd just sit there and just start writing about anything. And a lot of times the unmet needs we're talking about are actually things from childhood we might not even remember, like a parent leaving and, my own personal, I was sort of self-victimizing growing up, and my dad had left my family when I was young, and I had been, you know, cheated on by my partners throughout life. And I thought my whole issue, what I came to realize, is I never thought that I was enough
or worthy.
And so, it became, okay, I love myself, but I don't accept myself. I don't approve of myself. And I kept asking why? And then through years of self-discovery, it was like, okay, I never thought I was enough. And then why? And then, oh my gosh, I am enough. And all of a sudden it's like your organs just kind of metaphorically, your organs just rearrange, and your energy rearranges, and everything just feels amazing.
I love the rearranging thing, because what I'm hearing right now is, we just talked, and we'll go into deeper into each one. We talked about, I'm not enough. That's my self-worth. I'm judging myself. I'm not accepting myself. But you always had the love. And I just want everybody to hear that's home for us. Love is,
yes,
we always have love. And if we're denying it, then that's where all those other things come in. And that's where I want to explore with you about that, because I love how you're using real life examples of what could be going on in our lives that would be the expression of that unmet need. And so where would we want to even start? Let's see, because say they've got the love, and I think I might love myself. by, oh, yeah, you're right, I don't accept myself, or I'm judging or doing this. Where was the, what was the, is there a step, like an order that kind of goes, or are they just all over the place?
Sometimes they can be all over the place. For me, it was a really clear order. For me, I just kept thinking, why am I doing self-sabotaging habits and why actions? And I couldn't figure it out because I loved myself a lot. And so I thought, okay, what else is there? Well, I don't approve of what I'm doing. So does that mean I don't approve of myself in a way? And I'm judging myself for what I'm doing. So there's self-judgment. And then I just kept exploring each and everything. And it just, it sort of all, it seemed like it was all in a row for me. But I think for a lot of people, it can be, it can maybe be the opposite. Maybe they approve of themselves, but they don't love themselves. And
right.
I don't think that's, that might be, I don't know. I think you'd have to have a level of self-love to approve of yourself.
If you're saying, it's kind of more of a validation. You're saying, you know what, every day you wake up and you are approving of your acts. Okay, you know what, I get up, I feed the cats, I go to work, I'm a good person, I pay my taxes, I do whatever. But at the end of the day, if you don't have that love for yourself, maybe it's just more of a false validation.
Right. And I noticed, for me, I noticed I was in a marriage, and it was a wonderful marriage. There was nothing... It was a very amicable separation. We did get divorced, but in my marriage, I did not do anything self-sabotaging. I was wonderfully healthy, wonderfully happy. We got divorced. Even that was great. There was no big issue why we got divorced. It was just, okay, we're going on different paths. And then I started doing more self-sabotaging things, and I thought, uh-oh, what's happening? Why? And then I realized, because I was getting my approval and I was getting my acceptance from my ex-husband,
rather than
from myself. And I thought, oh, okay, so I'm doing all these self-sabotaging habits now because all of a sudden he's gone now, and I'm not getting that from within. So that was a huge red flag for me.
Okay, we are going to go to commercial. There is something so huge in that we are returning to in just a few moments.
Yeah.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Join me, Tammy Adams, intuitive life coach and spiritual healer, for my new show, Karma Talk. Learn how to get rid of your karma so that you can start living the life you are meant to live. I am not going to tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Join me on Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time for Karma Talks on Om Time Radio.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Talking about self-love and self-acceptance. And just before the break, Kelly, you really, that I'm so happy that came out with that story. And you just reminded me of something that maybe other people can relate to. I was in a long-term relationship, and in that relationship, I was a certain way. And when I broke up and I left, I started doing very different things. And I was really judgmental on myself, because what it was, when I was in the relationship, I was a clean freak. Like, as soon as the food, you know, you're finished eating your dinner and the plates touch the table, I swooped them up and it was all clean and tidy and perfect. And bedtime was at this time, everything was so. And then when I left, I was like, that dish is okay there till bedtime, or, you know, or what is bedtime anymore? And I started judging myself, thinking, oh my goodness, like, who am I even? Why am I not doing what I had always done before? And you just helped me realize that I believe that I wanted the oh, look at you, you're so good, you're so perfect, you do the dishes, you're such a great house, you know.
Right.
And then when I didn't have to, I was like, oh my goodness, does this mean I'm a dirty pig? Or, you know, I was like, what's going on? And then I was like, but I do love myself too. And why am I? And then I was like, who am I? Who am I? And I love that you brought that up, because when we have big changes, whether it's a job change, a job loss, project path, a relationship status, we do get to be somebody a little different. And how do we find that self-love and acceptance through those?
Yeah, that's a huge thing, because oftentimes, and I think it's a little bit of how we are human nature-wise, we're always seeking approval from others and validation from others, and we need to sort of concentrate on seeking that from within ourselves first, and then that way we can accept it from others as an addition rather than the foundation, which I think is nice.
Do you think that the ever-long quest for other people's approval and acceptance comes from a fear that, like, try to imagine where that would come from, like a fear that we wouldn't be, but if we have it, does it melt away and we no longer have that? What's your take on that?
I think it's always fear-based. I think either it's fear of not being approved. We're always wanting other people to think positively of us and not negatively of us. And I think a lot of people, I can't say everybody, but I think a lot of people have a fear of not being accepted and not being approved by others. And, you know, when you're in a relationship, you love the monogamy and you want the person to think you're the best, and, you know, and you try so hard and strive for that. And I think once you do, well, I know personally, once I did come to realize that I actually was enough and I did love myself, and I journaled a lot about my positive aspects, and that fear did really melt away a lot. I wouldn't say it's 100% gone, because it is a learned pattern over life, but the fear does melt away over time.
I love that, because I just recently come to the feeling, not just the thought, but the feeling of, one of the biggest fears is really that we are separate, because we are one, and we always are, have that connection. But when we fear that, oh my goodness, I remember being a small child and fearing that when I went to heaven, that, you know, mom always said, well, we love everybody the same. And I was like, oh my gosh, when I get to heaven, what if you don't love me the most, like your daughter, and I'm all alone?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, wait, you're going to love the neighbor as much as me? How dare you?
I know. Yeah, that makes sense.
And it was a fear as a young child of, but I don't want to be separate. I want to be one, and I'm taught that we are one, that we are all a part of this, but I kind of want to be unique. I kind of want to be different. I want to stand away. So there's such a dichotomy when you think about, but wait, am I looking for external acceptance, or wait a second, am I not? And I think that can make people, like, sick, like literally their cells, as you said, they rearrange. And I think that when you have this such fear-based thing, like your cells just get all bouncy. And so what are some things that you've experienced from your clients and the people that you've worked with who do are lacking self-approval and self-worth and self-love? What has happened to some of those people? What does that look like in someone's life?
So in someone's body, there are the energy centers, otherwise known as the chakras, and they all coincide with the endocrine system, which is all the different glands, the major glands in the body. And I've noticed with a lot of self-love issues, there's a lot of issues around the heart, basically energy around the heart. And a lot of even mothers, I've experienced a lot of mothers who are very selfless, and they're just expressing their love so much for their children and for other people that they somehow develop things like breast cancer or physical issues, because physical issues actually always show up in the energetic body before they do as a physical.
Mm. That is something. And by the way, just really quickly, when you said about, you talking about a mother, and then you said expressing her love, isn't that funny that when women breastfeed, we call it expressing the milk? Sorry, that was such an immense love. That's the first form of love.
Right.
I was so neat when you said that. But can we explore that, what you just mentioned about explain what the energetic body is. I mean, our listeners definitely have that, you know, that conscious thought, but explain what that is in this
term and concept and how that would relate with self-love.
So the energetic bodies, there are energy, there's a lot of energy that comes in and out of our bodies because everything is energy when you break it down in physics. And the each section of the body, so the reproductive glands, and then you've got the glands in the head and the glands around the heart and things like that, huge areas in the body have been scientifically measured to have a lot of energy that comes in and out of those areas. Mm-hmm. And so you can tell, even science has proven that issues can be seen based on energy fluctuations in those areas, and then eventually they do show up as physical ailments. And there's been a lot of studies done where someone has gone through the healing and the physical issue seems to just dissipate on its own.
So beautiful. It's literally when I say what we're holding inside us, like our thoughts are, well, our thoughts are us, and then we're manifesting, creating the body that,
right,
that is in alignment with those thoughts.
Right.
So
and
maybe
it's tremendous about thoughts. Like thoughts,
yeah,
are energy. So yeah.
I wonder, when somebody is out there and they're thinking, yeah, something's missing from my life. I don't know what it is, and I don't know how to. I don't know what you know. Some people can grab a pen and paper and try to draw. They don't know how to meditate, or maybe if they were to start with just looking at themselves, like you said, I started thinking about what I was thinking. But what if somebody were to look at their body? When you said about heart issues, like people have a lot of maybe around their heart, their energy and heart, what are some of the physical, we'll call them diseases, ailments, things like that, that you've seen people come in with and then have that healed or corrected or balanced?
I've seen just heart issues like arrhythmias and pain. There's oftentimes it's a pain that allopathic / regular family doctors aren't able to diagnose. There will be a pain and a tightness in the chest. We'll just use the chest as an example. But random pains that you go get checked out and they say, well, nothing's wrong with you. Nothing's wrong. It's all fine. But you hurt and you don't know why, or it feels tight or it feels really heavy. You go, because those are the symptoms of heart attacks, you go get checked out, but no, you're just fine. And those were some of the things I was noticing. There was a woman that I did help who had a very bad pain in her neck. Nobody could figure out why this pain was there. So she came to me and asked, you know, I have this severe pain in my neck and I can't figure it out. And over time listening, she was actually saying, oh, but this is a huge pain in the neck, and that's a pain in the neck, and this is a pain in the neck. And so we thought, let's change the vocabulary around what you're saying, change the pain in the neck sentence, and sure enough, her pain was gone.
Oh, my goodness, I love that.
Yeah, so that was just one of the really interesting ones.
Our language, because, see, we do know, and if we... Oh, somebody else like yourself, that's why I love healthcare practitioners. I do love coaches. I love friends, because sometimes they can hear something that we don't hear.
Right. Yeah.
And you love it.
And there's people that have like throat issues and they can't figure out what's wrong with their throat, or they have a persistent cough that will not go away and their family doctor can't figure it out, but they're not communicating about something to somebody. And once they actually let go and they communicate about whatever they needed to communicate about, all of a sudden their throat is fine.
The clearing of it is so beautiful and so natural, and so how long have you been working? Would you say that is like one of the strongest or beginning points that you do with your clients you're working with, the self-love and acceptance, before really dealing with anything else? Is it always the root issue?
No, it's not always the root issue, but it always has played a part. There's always some piece of it there that I've known to be there.
Okay, and so what are some of the, you know what, before I ask that one, I'm going to save that question, hold on. So one of the biggest questions I hear all the time from my clients are, I don't know my purpose, what is my purpose, and I need to know my purpose, and it's all about this purpose. And I wondered, I want to ask your opinion, can someone even begin to ask that question, what is my purpose, if they don't feel and experience self-love and acceptance? You think they tie together?
I think they're tied together. I think you can realize what your purpose is, but if you don't have a lot of self-love and you don't accept yourself, that's going to be very clouded. Like with my business, when I got divorced, I had a thriving health and wellness business, lots of clients. It was great. Then when I got divorced, all of a sudden my inspiration to do anything was gone. I just wasn't inspired anymore to do my business. And I thought, where did that inspiration go? But it came from all of a sudden me not approving of myself and accepting of myself and thinking, well, how can I help clients if I don't love and approve of myself first? And then over time that healed and now everything's wonderful again. But I think it is tied to your purpose. I think you can know your purpose, but you wouldn't be very effective at expressing it if you didn't have that love and approval, mostly approval.
The approval. So what would, if we, I love affirmations, we can go into them in a bit, but when you say about the word just before the commercial in 1 minute, it talks about approval. Is this, so we say we don't want to judge ourselves. We don't want to judge good or bad, right or wrong. If we could, and if we run to the commercial, we'll say it when we come back, but if we're thinking about approval versus judgment, because I get stuck and I go, oh, but if I approve of myself, did I just judge it and then say yes, stamp of approval? So I wondered if we could tie in what the matters of approval, how would we get to approval if we're not going to judge?
Right. You'd have to start with looking at...
Oh, I knew that was going to... Okay, when we're back.
That's okay.
Perfect timing.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
So as we return and talk about self-love, self-acceptance, and the difference in the very specific difference between judging and acceptance, I love that there was a cat commercial on just before because it reminds me that without judgment, animals can accept us and vice versa. So I just had to highlight that.
Right. Yeah.
But I really am thinking about this because as I shared that story earlier about me, you know, me not being as tidy and clean and quick to jump up and do everything, I did eventually get past, you know, the judgment of it, and I allowed to be what is. But I don't even know how I got to that point. If I'm going to ask you to be the outside looking in and help me to understand that, so we can share with that, the listeners on that one.
Well, what I would do is I started really learning how to pay attention to my thoughts, because we all have, every human has on average 70,000 thoughts per day, and most of them are negative, way more than half are negative, but we don't realize it because we're just going about our lives and we're just thinking. So if you start to pay attention to your thoughts, and it gets way easier over time, all of a sudden you think, oh my gosh, that was a judgmental thought, and then you examine each thought. That's what I did. Based on the mentor that I had at the time giving me that advice. And so I started just examining my thoughts and realizing when I was judging and why I was judging and where did that come from? And it's different for everybody, I really think.
When you said that about talking about fear, like we have 70,000, I want to highlight that for everybody, 70,000 thoughts every single day, most of them repeating and most of them negative. one of the questions I know I've come to ask myself, because there is, you have to be discernment between things, and fear does exist. Now, there can be healthy fear. So I know often I'll say to myself, is this fear that's showing up serving my highest self? Like, is it showing up to say, you know, you really shouldn't leave those dishes because the food will rot? I don't know, something bad. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. As
a very silly excuse, or a reason, but, you know.
Right.
But something to that effect. Like, am I being, what's the word? Am I gaining weight? Let's do a health one here. Am I gaining weight? Am I judging myself and I'm just gaining weight because I'm not loving myself? Or am I gaining weight because I'm putting a layer to protect myself from emotional issues? Like something like that. Like more of a...
I really think the weight gain thing comes down to being worried about others' approval.
Oh, okay.
I do understand where you're coming from with the maybe I'm adding another layer to hide, whatever, but I've always found in my own personal experience with many, many clients that I've had, who some clients have even told me that they're convinced that it's because they're adding on another layer. However, when we boiled it down, that was more of a justification, and it was really about others' approval. And, oh, well, I don't approve of myself, so others won't anyway. I might as well just eat this, and I don't care. And it sort of spirals from that, from my own personal experience. I can't blame everybody.
That's very interesting. I'm thinking, you know, obviously right now I'm thinking of specific people, and so some of that language might be, oh, I love that, actually. We're reflecting. That's the mirror of what we're feeling about ourselves, what we believe others feel about us because we feel that way.
Yeah, yeah. And it's sort of, we all have this thing where and it's a human nature thing, where we perceive things in the world and we automatically start perceiving ourselves, or we'll think, oh, that person must think such a way about me because that's how I think about people. And it's very different between everybody.
Oh my goodness. Sorry. I'm wrapped up in that thought so intensely because of those 70,000 thoughts. And
right.
But yes. And I think that the big things, because we have such big stages in our life, you know, as we're growing up, we're trying to gain our independence while understanding that we still have teachers like our parents in our lives. And then the next step of a career building and then marriage, children, and then it goes on. And it's always about what is the best for me and how to listen to that. And so how do we witness our own acceptance? How, once we feel good about ourselves, we accept ourselves, how would we continually be sure that we can, because we want to have those repeating thoughts be positive or loving, what are things that we can do to witness that continuously and repetitively so it feels good all the time?
I would just say really still being conscious of the thoughts, and not in a way to fix anything. Like, a lot of people get confused and start looking for the negative thoughts they're having. However, sometimes if you notice a positive thought, celebrate it. Just in your mind, think that was positive, that was awesome. And gratitude journals are great. And again, another, my favorite technique is removing yourself mentally and looking at yourself as if you were your own friend and thinking, how would you celebrate your friend if you were your friend? You know, what makes that person awesome if they were your friend, which is you? And in turn, you start to really build a great foundation of self-approval and self-acceptance.
I'm writing that down. I actually love it. You just reminded me of a mantra song, we'll call it, that I wrote a while ago called A Friend in Me. And I love that you said that, because building that relationship and highlighting the qualities, like those are qualities, like external, internal, but the qualities that you would look for in another person. And what happens if we said, sorry, I'm making up a scenario here. Say I said, I really enjoy you, so you're my friend. I would say, I really enjoy her authenticity and the ability to express it. Do I do that? Like, how could I do that more? Like, how would I check in with myself or see if I like that about me? Or
if it's something that makes you feel good, one thing I've noticed is that when I sit and I meditate, and this came from my mentor as well, but when I sit and I meditate and you have a thought about yourself, do you feel a rise, like sort of a butterfly feeling in your stomach that rises up, or do you feel sort of a heaviness? And then that allows you to really segregate how you're feeling, and is that a bad feeling or is that a good feeling? And then another a good point that I just want to touch on is if someone else does something that seems disapproving of you and they react badly to anything and you had no idea and it catches you off guard and you think, oh my goodness, maybe I wasn't enough, really look at them as unattached from you. What are they going through? Because everybody is a mirror.
Yeah.
And if they could be going through something and it has nothing to do with you. So that's something really important. Yeah.
I'm glad that you brought that up because we're touching on the four agreements. One of the agreements, don't take it personally.
Right.
Love that you said that. And just as we just even said, we, with the weight, we are reflecting about how we feel about us, and that's how we're behaving. It's exactly what others then are doing. So, oh, that's so, you know, that one is actually something I recently, I would say in the past, I've been working hard on this one too. Relationships are doozies because when you step out of them, you're like, who am I? And I really have been able to, I feel so light about it because I can step back and say, that's their life. They're living their life. I don't need to live their life. And I don't need to, I can't fix or do or live their life. What I feel is my life.
Right.
Yeah. That's powerful and controlling. And then to have that love. If somebody was about to cross that bridge, they're just about to say, you know what, I want to give myself permission to do this. I want to do this. But they're scared. They don't know how. What is a way that one can give themselves permission to accept that love or go there?
Well, what I do is I teach my clients what's called a coin trick. And so it's a special coin you find, and you could use a regular quarter, but I like to find some kind of coin that's a little bit different. And you carry it on you. And when you have a thought, neurologically, when you feel the coin physically, your brain turns on more towards what you're trying to do with it. So on one side, say heads, is the negative thought you might be feeling about yourself. Tails is the positive thought. So I'm just going to use a random example on myself. I used to say, well, I'm not a good health practitioner because, you know, I don't feel good inside. The other side of the coin is I am an amazing health practitioner. Mm-hmm. If you can't legitimately believe the positive side, think about the rim around the coin as a third edge being the potential to get there. So there is the potential. And then you think about little steps, even different thoughts you can have, little things you can do, a gratitude journal or stepping on the grass and just stopping and thinking in your bare feet for a minute, little tiny things you can do to get yourself there. Because I think a lot of us try to be 10 steps ahead rather than realizing it's okay to be where we are. It's okay. So that's a little trick that I use with people.
I love that there's even that amazing of an answer to that question. I was not expecting an awesome coin trick. I love that. And you're really, it's funny because you said about the third edge, and the third edge can be the bridge. Do you feel that, I love that you brought up about stepping in the grass or something, just taking that moment to say, I am worthy of this moment to be present in myself and acknowledge whatever may be. And
yeah, like, why do I need to be amazing right now? I am amazing in my own way right now, you know?
I love that. That's all, yes. And so we have also the people who we think love, you know, somebody else looking in might say, no, they have lots of self-love and self-approval because look at them. They're like superwoman, superman. They can do anything and everything. But really, sometimes those are the people who have the least amount of, because it's so externally driven.
Complete. Right. Yeah.
So it shows up in so many ways. How do you feel about, because you live this way and this is your life as well, do you have, I can't think of the word right now, not a ritual, but every day, is this best that we do something very, like we put in our schedule, like we make an appointment with ourselves, if it's 2 minutes, 1 minute, an hour, but should we be committed on a daily basis or something just to...
What I do is I love first thing in the morning, freehand writing. You just put the pen to the paper and you let out whatever comes out. And it doesn't matter. You don't have to try to make it positive. Just whatever comes out, let it get out. And there's, a neurological thing that happens when you write it by hand on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. It sort of streamlines your thoughts and then those are gone and it leaves a lot more mental space for better things. And then at night, as I'm falling asleep, I'll lie in bed with everything off. My eyes are closed. My objective is to go to sleep. And I think, I am so grateful for this bed. This is so comfortable. I absolutely love my mother, or that meal I had today was delicious. I'm so excited for the feeling of the sun on my skin. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I just thank the universe, essentially, for every little tiny thing I can think of. And again, I keep bringing up neurology is one of my favorite subjects.
But
neurologically, when you wake up the next day, you're automatically on a positive track because your brain keeps it going.
Because you've given it instructions now for your repair and rejuvenation as it goes through. It was funny, just the other day, somebody literally had said to me, I felt the sun on my face and it was just invigorating. And
yeah,
I loved that word because, see, I would think of the word like maybe calming or peaceful or warm. And I love that they said invigorating. Like, because sunlight is so much energy balled up, and that one little beam touching them could alter so much. I just want to share a quick thing, and just before the commercial this round, I had eaten something I don't normally eat at all, ever, actually. And I really wanted it because I was, it was actually just yesterday. It was out for Mother's Day. I was at my sister. She's a mom, and I'm a cat mom. So, but I went, and they had leftover like Chinese food. And I love Chinese food, but I can't eat it. And that's, you know, because it just doesn't work well in my body. And I just had a little bite of like a little broccoli and a little this and a little that. And I knew not to eat a lot. And I remember my sister saying, that's all you're going to eat. And I said, no, yep. And you know, I got home and it started. I was like, oh, I really don't feel well. And all I said was, I love you. I said it to myself. I love you.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually smiled. I was like, oh, that feels so good. And immediately, like, my stomach kind of, I love that you said that in the beginning, it rearranged. I think it just rearranged and said, I'm here for you. I got your back. I got your stomach. You know? Like,
right. Yeah.
And as we go to commercial, come back and talk more in love.
Okay.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
So, our final segment, which I, because we could talk about this honestly forever, because I think there's, we all go through it and it shows up in every part of our lives or not.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to have your view on it, because you have all these clients with so many things. And when you're doing your treatments, somebody comes in and you kind of look at them. What are some of the treatments that you actually do work with that you help people with and get through these energetic bodies and physical bodies?
That's really individual, based on the client themselves. A common one is sitting there and just talk therapy. I find a lot of medical family doctors will talk about, you know, how do you feel? Okay, well, here's a pill. And, you know, I'm not blanking every doctor, but it's not about why. And I find a huge aspect that's missing is why. like, oh, I'm not feeling good. Well, why? And it's almost like being a 3-year-old where you just keep asking why, you know what I mean? Until you get to the bottom of it. Yeah. Like why, until finally you unearth things that, oh my goodness, the person thinks, oh my gosh, I never even realized that before. So that's probably my main thing, is I go into why everything. And then that tells me if it's physical, if it's mental, if it's caused by mental, what's happening and how is it affecting their lives. That's probably my most favorite thing that I do.
I like you said that about how is it affecting your life. That is so big. I have a friend, and it has taken her life away. It hasn't taken over her life. It is, she's like this lack of self-love and self-approval has literally taken her out of her own life, and she's no longer a participant. And I think at the beginning of the show, the question was, what would our life look like if we gave ourselves permission to feel the love that we do have?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that would look very different. What are some of the outcomes that people, like the turnarounds, or what does a life look like, the before and after, from what you've seen with your clients?
I know for a fact that people are less affected by little goings on in their lives. So things that happen don't affect them as much. It kind of rolls off their back more. Mm-hmm. And once you're really settled in yourself, it's almost like that saying, don't sweat the small stuff.
Yes.
It really is all small stuff. Once you feel that grounded and that in with yourself and into yourself, and you don't feel so lost anymore. So I've really noticed a lot of people just naturally gravitate towards being more healthy once they realize what's going on inside of themselves. They don't need to fill that hole that they're not sure where the hole is coming from. So they try to fill it with all kinds of maybe unhealthy habits or self-sabotaging beliefs even. And I find that people just are easier about everything. Generally,
that is so true. I remember learning so long ago that my mom taught me this. She said when people micromanage or try to control the control freaks, and I use that word with respect, but that they're actually doing it out of fear.
Yeah,
fear based. Like the control isn't because they think they're all that and that they can do it better. Well, they can think they can do it better because if they think that they can control it, they can control the outcome.
Right, right. Relinquishing control is huge.
Oh, I love that. Can you talk about that? I love that. Relinquishing control.
Yeah, because a lot of people, they're trying to control their inner environment by attempting first to control the outer environment. Mm. And that's really backwards. What we need to do is control our inner environment first, and then the outer environment just completely changes. Wayne Dyer had a good quote that if we change the way we look at things, the things we look at changes.
I love that.
And so just letting go of controlling your outer environment and keeping control on the inside, the outside automatically just changes.
Mm.
So another person I love to listen to is Abraham Hicks.
Yeah.
Who's a law of attraction guru. And she always talks about that no matter what we're trying to control in our lives, all we want, if you boil it down with everyone, is that we think we're going to feel better if we have whatever it may be, or if we can control whatever we're trying to control. It's only because we think we're going to feel better. What about just feeling better and then watching the rest of it fall into place? And a lot of people say, well, I won't feel better until it falls into place. And then you got to look at why. Like, why aren't you feeling good right now? Why do you need that in order to feel good? And then really it all boils down to perception in the end.
Actually, that's another one I think that's going too, is you'll see it when you believe it. Because a lot of people
exactly.
say that. Yeah. I remember when I was leaving that, it was a relationship that took me many attempts to leave. And what I needed to do, I remember this very clearly. Well, at first it was more because it was a lot of work moving and leaving. So I was like, forget this, I just won't have anything next, so I can make a quick exit. And so, but what it really was, I was able to, once I let go of all the stuff, I mean, I just had a bag. I had enough clothes now that can get me through a couple of days or something. You know, oh, of course, my hair straightener and makeup can't have
it. Essentials.
Yes. So I was like, hey, if I'm leaving, I'm going to look good. But anyways, I really remember that I thought, and I put this in my bio, one of them is the less I had, the more I could control. And I don't mean in the way that I could control, meaning the less I had to worry about that really didn't matter. I could
right.
work on healing myself because everything inside of me was becoming so apparent and clear because all the external stuff was gone that was masking.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And people have that with positions of like their titles of their position at work. There was one fellow I was working with and he was so determined to give me a title. I was like, I don't need a title. I don't want to be I get you have to have titles on that, but it was just so funny. It was like an immediate thing. Like we were forcing it almost and pushing. I was like, let's let one develop. Let's see what I do for this company and allow that to come up. I found the hardest, because in your introduction, there's a whole bunch of things that I got to say about you, advanced healthcare practitioner and all this and stuff and everything. But who are you? How do you love and
exactly.
respect yourself? Yeah.
I went to a self-discovery workshop with my mother, and I already know ahead of time she'll be fine with me sharing this, but it was her turn to speak, and the therapist there was saying, okay, well, tell me about you. Who are you? And she started talking about my brother and I. And the lady said, no. Don't include your kids. Who are you? And she said, oh, well, I'm in an award-winning barbershop chorus, and I'm a teacher. And the lady said, no. Okay, let's remove all the labels. Who are you? And my mother thought, oh, my gosh, I don't know. And so it's really important to remove your own labels that you place on yourself. I'm a mother, or I'm a teacher, or I'm a this. It's really important to try not to self-identify with labels.
And you know what's interesting about that? If a lot of people say, well, how can I accept? Well, I'm thinking right now, how can one accept themselves if they don't know who they are?
Yeah. Who you are, that's a huge issue. Well, who am I? And it's more so, what am I? And I don't mean in the sense of physical labels, but
yes.
If we just look at ourselves as energetic beings, like we're not humans. Or we're spiritual beings having a human experience. I love that one.
Yes.
And I think if we don't need a label, and a lot of people think they need a label or they need a social status, and I just don't really believe that.
Yeah.
It's hard to help convince people, but yeah.
It is. And also, too, when you let go of that, even, do you know what's funny? I noticed that the more I held on to trying to prove, oh, I'm an amazing holistic nutritionist. I'm really not. This is who I am. The more I did that, the more I was like, I don't think I was actually getting my point across to anybody that it would even be in alignment. But as soon as I let it go, and people, I wouldn't even share that I was a nutritionist or something for so long. And I got the most nutrition clients I've ever received.
Right. Yeah.
You are, and actually, I have it tattooed on my hand. I am, and that is so. And I say that, and I was just more of a. I love that body art when people, because back in the tribes, we put paint on, and this is a beautifying thing, and the messages that we feel and that we are. But I think the reminder there is so. Let us sit back and feel who we are, so that we can say, I like this person. I actually love this person. And they move into accept this person. And I don't want to end without finding out some of the modalities that if somebody were to want to contact you and work with you and they're thinking, yeah, I didn't really connect you with this and I have some addictions that I want to get over, judgments. What are some of the things that you do work with people with?
What I do is I sit down, and it always starts with talking. It starts with conversation. I want to know about them. And there's no, I do free consultations, and there's no, 1 hour free. It's however long it takes.
Aww.
And we sit and we talk about things like, let's talk, let's find out about each other even. And it's more of a, it's almost like it starts with a developing trust and developing a friendship based on trust. And then we go into issues they're having and we talk about where that might be coming from. And then I have a whole bunch of different modalities that I use. They're all non-invasive, where I help the person discover how to heal themselves from the inside by giving them the correct tools.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's different. So it's everything is tailored completely to the person and their own chosen lifestyle too.
And that is important because we definitely all have our own, call it dharma, and the way we choose to do that. And so what would be the best way for somebody to get a hold of you?
It would probably be by phone. It's 905-808-SOUL. That's the easiest way to remember it, but 905-808-7685. Also info@souleyou.com is my email.
And I'll be posting that as well. And so we still have a minute and a half here. I'd like to close this off. Are there some affirmations or turnarounds or thoughts or something that would help people right now listening? We've got the journaling, and it was, they didn't have time in mind. Like, what are some things that we could help somebody along that might have a very common, oh, I'm so stupid, why did I do that? Some turnarounds that would help them get past that over.
The best thing I can say about affirmations, anything positive is a good affirmation. So no matter what thought you have, think of the positive aspect of that thought, but more so, how would it feel if you were that way? Because people say affirmations all the time, but energetically, the universe is made of energy. We're made of energy. And so if you can attach the feeling energy to your affirmation, it would go so much farther. So even if you don't believe it, but you say, I'm a great, lovable person, you might not believe it, but what if you were? Can you find the feeling? What would that feel like in your gut? And so I would just say, no matter what your affirmation is, make sure it's positive and really try to find the feeling behind it.
That is absolutely stunning and beautiful. I love that you gave somebody, all of the listeners, a step. Just if you couldn't make it this far, let's just take this one safe step. And it's, what if I was?
Right.
What if it was possible? What would it be like? What would it look like? And I'm so appreciative to have you come on and do this beautiful show. I just knew I'd love this one. I so appreciate your time. It's Kelly Bentley, and I'll put all the information links and everything up so we can track you down. But I do recognize the love in yourself. I love that you're shiny and bright and lead this way. And just, it helps everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Kelly. Bye-bye.
Bye.